Are you afraid of what life may throw your way? Are you constantly worried that maybe you won't have enough money for tomorrow? Well, today we're going to talk about ways to replenish your emergency fund. Welcome back. My name is AB Ridgeway. I'm the host of Financial Advisor, Say the Darndest Things, and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. And as a financial advisor, we typically recommend 6 to 9 months of emergency savings if you're a single individual, just in case you change a job or you get laid off for a certain amount of time, or maybe you even get sick. You don't want your bills to fall behind. So what do? You create an emergency fund. And today we are going to talk about strategies and ways you can do that. Well, let's listen to this video and I'll give my commentary right after.
Like raindrops that suddenly start to fall, or just weather being unpredictable, life can be full of surprises, some delightful, others not so much. That's where an emergency fund steps in, acting as a financial umbrella ready to shield us from the unexpected storms
This must be
that
live.
come our way. School's First Federal Credit Union is here to share some effective strategies to rebuild your emergency fund quickly and efficiently. Here to help keep us dry when the rainy days come, we have Tamara Thomas, Fruitbridge Branch Manager for School's First Federal Credit Union. Hello, Tamara.
Hi, Desiree.
All right, so you're helping us prepare for those rainy days, those unexpected
Yes.
days. So let's start a little bit with the basics. How much should we aim to save in our emergency fund?
That's a really great question and something we should all be thinking about as prices of everything start to rise. So you really want to aim to cover 3 to 6 months of your living expenses. And that can seem like a lot, but remember, you start small and you build. That's a goal to build up to, this is really to act as like that safety net should
Yeah.
life throw any curveballs your way.
All right, so it looks like we have our first tip. Brothers and sisters, this answer is what you'll find when you Google 3 to 6 months. Pretty general across the board. But as a certified private wealth advisor professional with over a decade of experience, I know this is not the end all say all. Things are going to be different for different people, and this is how. If you are a single individual, yes, you can err on the lower side, maybe 3 to 6 months. That's okay. But if you're married, your spouse doesn't work, and you have 4 or 5 children, or maybe even 3 children, you are going to want to save more money. So the more dependents that you have that don't generate income, you are going to increase that number. Some people may need to increase it all the way up to 12 months. And if you are an entrepreneur, you may even think about 24 months to increase the cash flow just in case business is not up to par or maybe there's a bad year. Also, if you have dual income, so if you work and your spouse works, you can err on the lower side. You don't have to do your 12 months. Maybe you just do 9 months or 6 months. And the more income sources that you have, the less you have to save in your emergency fund. For example, if both of you are employed, that's 2 sources. If you have rental property, that's another source. If you have some passive income, maybe from some investments, or maybe that you're retired and you're getting a stream of income, that could be 4. What we're trying to prevent are life transitions. If there's a death in the family, if you get laid off and have to change jobs, maybe you have to move to a different state. This way, we can actually keep our lifestyle without going too far in debt or in debt at all. And that really is the point of an emergency fund. So to determine how much you need in your emergency fund, you're going to determine all of your expenses for that month. Your food, your water, your clothing, your entertainment, your travel, all those expenses, you're going to average those out and you are going to multiply that by 3, 6, 9, 12, and maybe even 24. So let's say that you're doing a 10-month emergency savings and your monthly bills is $2,000. You're going to want an emergency fund of at least $20,000 before you start investing and putting that extra money into an investment or something else like that. But once again, each situation is going to be different, but I want to debunk this whole, it has to be 3 to 6 months. If you're truly going to prepare for the unexpected, you need to make sure you have the right amount of cash flow, not too much and not too little. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Okay. So just slowly chisel at it and you'll get
That's
there.
right. Slow and steady is
There
okay.
we go. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the first step to building this fund without filling the pinch?
So, of course, anything financial, we're going to start with a budget. We talk a lot about how it's important to pay yourself. So consider when you're going through your budget, if you have some room, in your funds to divert that over to an emergency savings. If you don't, which, you know, some people really do feel the pinch, look at the things that you're maybe spending money on that you shouldn't be. Think about subscription services that you're no longer using. Think about, you know, are you eating out more than you should, or using those, you know, food delivery services that charge you fees, and try to cut those things back. And if you're able to do that, then take the funds that you're saving from there and put it into your emergency fund.
I really like these tips. One of the most important one to me, that sticks out to me, are services that we no longer use. Now, I know this sounds kind of odd. Like, what do you mean services we no longer use? If we're paying for it, we must be using it, right? Wrong. We are in a generation where we are setting up all these automatic payments, automatic payment for your Netflix, automatic payment for your music streaming, automatic payment for your electricity, automatic payment for your gas. We really don't know what we are setting up for automatic payment. So one of the recommendations, if you are trying to cut down on what you're doing and see if there's anything that you're paying for that you no longer use, print out your bank statement, go down the list and see what are your charges. Go to that company. Let's say you have, let's hypothetically, HBOX. I don't want to get sued. HBOX. And you're like, okay, this is a $5 charge. Maybe it's a reoccurring charge that's automatically on your credit card. You could take it off, and then now you just freed up $60 in your budget for the year. And that is going to be the best thing that you can do, because once again, these companies want you to automatically contribute or automatically pay for that, for that matter, so you don't have to think about it on a month-to-month basis. Because you'll go down this list and realize, like, I haven't used this in 3 months. I haven't used this in 4 months, but you also haven't checked your bank statement. Because if every month you're looking at your statement and you're like, do I need this or not? You might take it off. So these companies want you to automatically do it. Or if you have to write a check every month to this HBOX and you're not using it, you would have stopped it a long time ago. So just keep that in mind. Even though we love automatic bill pay, that's great. That's great for our bills and the things that we want. But we want to take that mentality for our investments, where we are contributing monthly without even thinking about it. It comes out of our check. Think about your 401k. It comes out of your check already. You don't have to think about making that contribution. That's why you have so much when you're looking at it every year. You're like, wow, I have a lot more than I had last year. Yes, because you're automatically contributing. So we want to take things away from compound debt and move them over to compound growth. Let's keep going.
You're so right about those subscriptions. I recently deleted a bunch, especially like when you do the trial and then you forget when the trial's over and now you're part of the subscription.
Like, I don't know about you, but half the time I'm like, I don't even remember having the subscription. I'm not watching this streaming service. So yeah, it's a really great time to go through, but you're paying for it.
Yes,
definitely.
Yeah. So going through everything, what would you say is the easiest way to grow your emergency fund without really having to think about it?
It's really great to set it up to save automatic, right? So you want to consider setting up an automatic transfer on from your checking account on your payday. That just kind of happens without you having to think about it. Good. So it goes into your emergency fund. And then you're building, right? You're building from there. If you're going to do that, it's always a great idea to consider looking for things that are going to earn a higher interest. So look at what options you have so that your money is working for you.
Good.
Okay. And then let's say someone's kind of struggling to find that extra money to save. Any creative ideas for that situation?
Yeah, there are a lot of different fun things that you can do to save money. It can be really daunting, especially when you're just starting. But there's a really easy challenge. It's called the 52-week challenge. And basically the way it works is on week one, you save $1. On week two, you save $2. Week three, you save $3, and so on, right? Throughout the entire year. And if you stick to that, then at the end of your 1 year, whenever you start that, you will have saved over $1,300. Wow. And it's a fun, easy way. You can make it visual if you would like to. Another thing that I think a lot of us sleep on is change, right? Mm-hmm. So anytime you break a dollar, take that change. Don't lose it in your couch or your car or your laundry. Put it into a jar, right?
Yeah.
And watch that jar build up. And when you see it, you know, get to full or whatever, you can turn it in and it adds up really quickly. You'd actually be quite surprised. Yeah. So that's a good way. And anytime you get any extra money, bonus at work, tax refund, if that's not being allotted to something else, think about putting that into your emergency fund as well.
I like that. Thinking ahead, just always planning ahead.
Yes.
Before we wrap up, what's one last piece of advice you'd give viewers about emergency funds?
I want to remind everybody that it's really this financial net for you, right? So if you have to use it, please use it and don't get discouraged by that. We just start over. It's a journey, right? Not a destination. Yeah. So if you have to use it, try not to, because you really want to have it if you should need it. But if you do have to use it, it's okay. Don't get discouraged. Just start your savings plan over again, whatever you find that works for you. And then remember, we're always here to help.
I didn't want to stop it too much because the information that we're giving was great. This is exactly how you build your fund. It doesn't have to be difficult. You just have to be consistent. And once again, this is only a small part of a financial plan, but it is a very crucial one to help build peace of mind. The question that may be going through your head is that, what if I have debt? Should I be paying down my debt, or should I be building up my emergency fund? That's a very great question. I think that you should be paying off your debt. And the reason I say this is because your debt is actually making additional charges at 23, 24, 25%. So you are paying to have those balances there. You're not making that same amount of interest in your emergency fund. So every dollar that you can pay down your debt, you're saving yourself another 23, 24%. Well, brothers and sisters, I don't want to keep this video too long, but I did want to encourage you to reach out to all these different resources that you have to help build a foundation before you even think about investing. If you don't know anything about the financial space and this is all brand new to you, make sure you check out our Four Pillars to Christian Investing. It's a 19-page retirement beginner's guide that goes over debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers. Typically, we have a more advanced topic on our show. We still need to build on a strong foundation, and debt management is one of them. Because when you think about an emergency fund, it's really to prevent you from going into debt unexpectedly, especially for emergencies like a hurricane. It could be weather or a flood, or it could be even a forest fire or something like that. We want to prepare for the unexpected. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm not going to hold you too long. What you can do though for me, if you like videos like this, something short, something sweet, you can actually check out some of our playlists where we break down financial topics and I kind of give my stamp of approval. Do I like it or do I not? Also, make sure that you subscribe, like, and comment, and check out some of our other videos. Well, that's it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.